deepest, darkest crevice, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Shadow Symphony, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show. Hi, this is Brian with Grand Film Productions, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Mike from Verse 13, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Jason Rook from AudioZombieSound.com, and you're now listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Roxy Blue from HauntForum.com, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is AJ, this is Devin, and we're from Team Holbreach, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Right on.
It's the Big Scary Show!
You're listening to the Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do!
This week, on a very special Big Scary Show, we have a special announcement regarding a contributor to the show. You may remember him bringing us celebrity interviews, but now we make it official and bring him in as a special correspondent. Who is it? Stay tuned. Storm continues his coverage of Banshee Fest and brings us the latest from Scully Couture and Team Holbreach. Badger's at the National Haunters Convention and strikes up a conversation with the owner of Fright Times magazine. He gets all the latest info and finds out his connection with the convention. Storm takes time off of covering paranormal cons to rant again in a Haunt Minute. The unknown scare actor makes you face your fears and brings you a bit of international news. The haunt rocker Jerry Vane spins some different tunes than normal to get you in the Halloween mood. Badger brings you a lot of deadline news. It's that time of year. We have a gruesome giveaway this month. The Roundtable of Terror chats with the next generation of haunt musicians, including Shadow Symphony, Gravetone Productions, and Verse 13, and get an idea about the future of haunt music and where it's going. All this, plus more, only on The Big Scary Show.
All right, Storm here at the Banshee Fest here in Rhode Island. And what do you do in between while you're waiting for the show to get going and, you know, your makeup's done and you're waiting to go for the haunt, or it's a rainy Saturday, your haunt gets rained out if it's outdoors? Well, I got something for you. How about the Holbreach card game? And I'm here with the creators, and they're going to tell you a little bit about it.
I'm AJ. I'm the CEO and art director.
I'm Devin. I am Chief Google Monkey.
And what better way to waste an afternoon than to infuriate your friends by throwing dice at them?
So what's the concept of the game? You know, we're radio podcast, so they can't see this incredible art and stuff, but what are we looking at here?
Well, the basic gist of the game is every player, commander, gets a station module cards, economy cards to keep track of your resources, and you play cards out of your hand to build yourself a fleet of ships and marines, and you take that fleet and you go hijack, scuttle, or blow up everybody else's stuff, basically. The last person with stuff on the table wins.
Excellent. And how long does it take somebody to learn the game and pick it up?
The basics are pretty quick. You can learn in 10 to 15 minutes. There's a lot of depth to the game, so it can take quite a bit longer to actually master.
So have you guys been, the concept of it, is it all just sci-fi and, futuristic aliens, or have you been mixing in any other concepts with it?
It's actually predominantly sci-fi, completely sci-fi. We're a veteran-owned company, and we've got two Army guys and a Navy guy in the company who put in a lot of their tactical experience over the course of their careers into the game and made it a very strategic tactical element, but it's our combined love of nerdiness and sci-fi that has elevated it to that genre. And we feel like we can offer something different with this. It's a very hands-on, fast, brutal, visceral experience where you're stealing ships and you're really kind of, our goal is to really absorb you into the sci-fi of it and bring you into our whole brief universe, as it were.
And you guys just had a big Kickstarter success, and what's the future of the game, and what are you guys looking to put out soon?
All right, I'll field this one. we are just coming off of a Kickstarter success past couple of weeks, and we're gearing up, and we're wrapping up all the production stuff, and we're going to be ended up premiering the game or releasing the game in September with our first game, Corporate Wars, which has three decks. At least Storm can see it over here. But and then every 3 months after that, we want to release another game.
So. Give me a second while I'm going. Come on.
Pause. Beer, we can have a beer dog. That's right. Tonight I'm at the beer and mustache table. I'm going to buy the large vinyl skulls.
All right, and how can our listeners check you guys out, find out more about the release and the game, and pick it up?
You can check out our website. It's HellbreachGame.com. Or we have a lot more information still on our Kickstarter page. Just do a search on Kickstarter for Hellbreach. Look for the successful one. We have a lot of links and videos on there to show you how to play.
Excellent. All right. Fans, everybody check it out. Definitely something to do in between while you're waiting for your makeup or waiting to get stuff going for the haunt. And guys, thank you very much. I hope the rest of the show is good for you.
Thank you, Storm, man. It's great.
Stiff Magazine presents the return of MonsterCon. Coming to the Greenville Hilton in Greenville, South Carolina, July 26th through 28th, 2013. MonsterCon will feature celebrity guests, including guest of honor David Prowse, comic and toy vendor areas, panels and discussion groups, special offers for local and independent artists, horror and sci-fi themed entertainment, the MonsterCon Film Festival, live music by the Graveyard Boulevard, Valentine Wolf, and others, anime, sideshow performances by Captain Stab Tuggo and Madame Maybell, late night entertainment for adults featuring single cell entertainment, and much, much more. For more information, details, directions, and tickets, visit MonsterCon.org. That's MonsterCon.org. Don't miss the return of MonsterCon. Order tickets now before it's too late.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start off with a little bit of sad news. Makeup artist and fang maker extraordinaire Grayson Wolf passed away on May 6th. He first got started in FX makeup in 1997, creating fangs. In 1998, he was recruited by Tom Savini and Todd Fisher to join their production company, and since then had worked on various independent films, commercials, TV, and motion pictures, such as True Blood, Underworld, and From Dusk Till Dawn. His fangs are considered some of the best in the industry, and I was proud to consider him my friend. The Big Scary Show wishes to express their condolences to the friends and family of Grayson Wolf and offers up this moment of silence. We have some news on the zombie walk in Columbus, Ohio. From Gino Bowles of ZWC Marketing, quote, considering the amount of responses regarding the date change and the list of new policies that must be met this time around, we at ZWC have come to an agreement on when the new event should take place. We discussed how to tag team other important times of the year and how sponsorship might be more appealing to industries that operate seasonally. We discussed how being in latex appliances in the dead of summer proved difficult for some. We took note of the unexpected rise in number we had last year and how many were unable to get an event shirt. It has been decided to launch Haunt Season with Zombie Walk Columbus 2013 as the kickoff event. With this comes a line of merch that, when matched with donations, can fund the many costs necessary. Count on the event being near September. An actual date will be announced immediately after getting our permit from the city, which we are currently working on. Count on the most twisted line of commercials I can legally put on the screen to help raise awareness. Everyone's patience has been outstanding. We are all working the hardest we possibly can to bring this to light. Thank you for your dedication to charity. For all the latest updates about the Zombie Walk in Columbus, Ohio, visit facebook.com/ZW Columbus. We have some news from Scaredown LLC in Waynesville, Ohio. We've been getting a lot of emails and messages about people wanting to work for us this season. To everyone who is interested, if you were on the team last year or not, please send us an email to jobs@scaredown.com. We're going to give everyone some time to get their info to us, and then we'll move forward with the hiring process for the 2013 season. So send us over an email with your contact info to let us know you're interested, and hang tight until we start hiring. We look forward to the best cast and crew imaginable this year. Check out www.scaredown.blogspot.com for more info. We have some news from the Exit 13 Haunted House in Mount Morris, Michigan. Good morning, guys. Within a month or two, we shall hold auditions to work the haunt this year. I would like to note that if you were not asked to come back or did not take your job with Exit 13 seriously, you will not be working there this year. No exceptions. Look forward to a great year. For details, check out our Facebook page or www.exit13hauntedhouse.com. We have some news from HauntCon. Leonard Pickle has let us know that there are still a few HauntCon 2013 t-shirts available, mostly in size large and extra large. If you forgot to pick one up or would like to have one commemorating the event, email hauntcon@gmail.com for more details. We have some news from the Trail of Darkness in Woodstock, Alabama, via Facebook. We need cast members for this October. We're looking for hard, outgoing, dependable workers. So if you're interested, please contact us at trailofdarkness13.webs.com or call 205-565-6515. Please remember, all work is volunteer, and we're an equal opportunity haunt. Trail of Darkness is located at 214 McElroy Drive in Woodstock, Alabama. We have an update from Phil Anselmo's Housecore Horror Film Festival. Halloween is still months away, but the horror is already heating up in Austin, Texas, as Phil Anselmo and Corey Mitchell's inaugural Housecore Horror Film Festival continues to release music and film event details for their three-day underground fan fest. Not for the faint of heart, this festival celebrates the best of the extreme and the wicked possibilities that arise when heavy metal and horror movie worlds collide. HHFF announces a very special appearance by Brazilian cult horror actor and director Coffin Joe. A first look at some of the film festival screening categories, special events, and other programming, and a second round of confirmed bands including I Hate God and War Beast. In addition, legendary horror rockers Goblin to perform a live score of Dario Argento's 1977 masterpiece Suspiria, and maestros of suspense Maurizio Guarani and Claudio Simonetti make their first ever appearance in North America. For information on the HHFF, which is happening October 25th through 27th in Austin, Texas, visit HousecoreHorrorFilmFestival.com. We have news from the Zombie Mud Run. The Zombie Mud Run is a post-apocalyptic 5K obstacle mud run teeming with zombies infected with the Living Dead virus. Whether you are an avid mud runner or you've never participated in a mud run, the Zombie Mud Run promises to be the most amazing, heart-pounding, adrenaline-producing mud run ever created. But you must first choose to sign up as human or zombie. Think of it as a giant party complete with music, food, beer, and thousands of people all looking to have a great time. They offer challenging obstacles without torturing your participants. Our uniquely themed race is designed to give you an outrageous experience where you will meet new people, act a little crazy, and have the time of your life. If your idea of a good time is to sit and watch other people live their life, perhaps you should go watch a movie or baseball game. But if you want to live your life to the fullest, then get off your butt and help save the human race. You can thank us later. The next projected outbreaks are happening June 15th in Middletown, Delaware at Frightland, with potential outbreaks coming to East Canton, Ohio at the Factory of Terror and Forsaken on Saturday, September 7th, Reading, Pennsylvania at Shocktoberfest, Saturday, September 21st, Wildwood, New Jersey, Maury's Fears on Saturday, October 12th, and East Windsor, New Jersey at the Field of Terror, Saturday, November 9th. For more information, www.thezombiemudrun.com. Some news for haunt actors in the greater Detroit area. What if I told you we have a free class designed specifically for haunters and that all you have to do is sign up? No, you won't get a bunch of garbage sent to you from people trying to sell you stuff. We are trying to develop haunt actors in the area in a hope that we can develop a stronger core of people to work in the haunts here. We have all come together to bring this event to the Metro Detroit area to help develop haunt actors into haunt stars. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to have four of the best instructors in the haunt industry together for one all-day training session. Everyone is invited. Experienced actors, haunt owners, cast directors, home haunters, and anyone looking to learn how to be a better haunt actor. Like it was stated before, it is free. All we ask is that if you sign up, you will show up. There is a limited amount of people we can teach in one day, so please make sure you show up if you're registered for class. We are not looking for anything from you other than to show up, have fun, and learn more techniques on how to be a better actor. This acting class is scheduled for July 20th at the Wixom Community Center, 49015 Pontiac Trail in Wixom, Michigan. Interested? Visit www.midwesthauntactors.com. for details and to sign up. We have some good news and bad news from Days of the Dead Indianapolis. So the good news, despite the convention block having sold out a while ago, the Wyndham Indianapolis West is extending the convention rate on all their available rooms through the rest of the month for fans attending Day of the Dead Indianapolis. The bad news, they are very close to selling out all 400 plus rooms in the entire hotel. If you haven't booked your room yet for the spookiest horror party of the summer, what are you waiting for? Visit www.daysofthedead.net/Indianapolis to reserve online or by phone. Your credit card will not be charged until the weekend of the show. Days of the Dead will be July 5th through the 7th at the Wyndham Indianapolis West, and scheduled guests include Angus Scrimm, Gary and Jake Busey, Lita Ford, Kane Hodder, Keith David, Tony Todd, and many, many more. We have some news from the Woods of Terror. Woods of Terror in Greensboro, North Carolina is looking for makeup artists as they're starting training sessions for the upcoming haunt season. Experience is preferred but not required as they'll be training throughout the year and you must be 18 years or older by September. They are a great team that works together and has fun while learning and they would love to have you. Trainings are once a month until September, and then they'll have them more frequently. Trainings are not paid, but you will be compensated for your time during the haunt season, which runs September through November. If you are interested in joining the team and learning about how to apply special effects makeup to the monsters at the Woods of Terror, please contact Kayla, preferably through email, or call or text 336-406-3978. If there's no answer, please leave a message. More information can be found on their Facebook page, facebook.com/woodsofterror. We have some news from Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie announces he's offering the new Venomous Rat album bundle available now. This package includes the Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor CD, exclusive t-shirt, bandana, keyring, and Liberty water bottle in a boombox. For more details, robzombie.com/venomousrat. We have news from the Greystone Haunted Manor in Longview, Texas. We are currently accepting applications for the 2013 fall season. We offer a very unique and exciting way of financial compensation for your hard work, dedication, and ability to scare people to death. Fill out the form on our website and someone will be in touch with you to find out if you're a good fit for Greystone Haunted Manor. We're looking for passionate and energetic people who love doing this type of work and people who are available for most of the weekends throughout October. For more information, visit GreystoneHaunt.com. That's Greystone with an A, GreystoneHaunt.com. We have the latest news from the Scaratorium Haunted Attraction in Columbus, Ohio. We have bad news and good news. Unfortunately, we will have to move the haunt again. The landlord sold the building and they'll be tearing it down in July. We have until June 30th to get out. We've known this was a possibility, so we started looking for a new location, and it looks like we might have a great new building for our haunt. We're partnering with Jim and Robert Culberson for a permanent relocation. They've submitted a contract to the seller and have a verbal and email acceptance. We're just waiting on the seller to sign the contract and return it. The new building is a former Circuit City on Sawmill Road, a newer building, bigger too, and limited visibility from Sawmill Road, very close to our current location. We're considering a year-round operation too. More on our future plans during our next meeting, and we need your help. We'll be at the haunt every weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, except during MHC, June 7th, 8th, and 9th, and we need everyone to please try and help us with the tear down and the move. There are tasks for anyone. We would appreciate it if you email or call us if coming by. We're providing food and beverages, and it helps to know how many to plan for. For more information, call Kelly at 614-203-4626. We have some news about the Niagara Falls Horror Fest. Fangoria Magazine presents the Falls Horror Fest, happening June 8th and 9th inside the Niagara Falls Comic-Con at the Scotiabank Convention Center, Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. More than 5,000 square feet of horror exhibitors, artists, celebrities, movie props, memorabilia, free Q&A sessions, movie screenings, special effects seminars, and more. Some of the celebrity guests scheduled to appear include Kane Hodder, Tom Savini, David Prowse, Madison Lentz, Lou Ferrigno, Sam Jones, Adam West, Mick Foley, and many, many more. Children 10 and under are free. For more information, tickets, schedules, and directions, visit NiagaraFallsComicCon.com/HorrorFest. We have some news from Crypticon Seattle. Crypticon Seattle is coming up fast. This year it's May 24th through the 26th at the Hilton Seattle Airport and Conference Center, 17620 International Boulevard in Seattle, Washington. This year's celebrity guests include Tyler Mane, Cleve Hall, Tom Savini, Fred Williamson, Adrian King, Joe Bob Briggs, and the one and only Elvira. There will be vendors, live-action role-playing, makeup contests, panel discussions, zombie speed dating, the PNW Paracon Seattle Roundtable, and much, much more. For more information, tickets, and everything you need to know, visit www.crypticonseattle.com. We have some news from the 7th Street Haunt in Louisville, Kentucky. Lou Evil, Kentucky's award-winning 7th Street Haunt, is looking for monsters, ghosts, and ghouls to strike fear into hundreds of victims this Halloween season. This haunted attraction is one of a kind. If you like horror, gore, and love scaring people, this is the place for you. If interested and would like to know more about this once-in-a-lifetime chance to get paid to do something you love, please email them at tbowling, that's T-B-O-L-I-N-G, at 7thStreetHaunt.com. 7th Street Haunt is located at 2900 7th Street Road in Louisville, Kentucky. Their website for more information, 7thStreetHaunt.com. We have news from the Scarefest. Scarefest is very excited to announce Izzy's Little Creepers will be presenting the Scarefest Film Festival at this year's event. This year, a winner for the best film will be announced and awarded prizes. Each chosen film to be featured at Scarefest will be announced on the Facebook page and the movie trailer posted on the Scarefest website. Receive 2 weekend passes to Scarefest and a discount on a booth to sell DVDs and merchandise. The winner of the film festival will be announced on their Facebook page and on the Scarefest website. Receive a 2013 official Scarefest t-shirt, and as a winner, you will have bragging rights to post on IMDb. The winner's film trailer and winning title will be posted on the website for the rest of the year to help promote the film. Submissions are being accepted now through July 15, 2013. If you wish to get a submission form, please email your request to John Thompsett at jthompsett, J-T-H-O-M-P-S-E-T-T, at msn.com, ASAP. Scarefest will be September 13th through the 15th at the Lexington Convention Center in Lexington, Kentucky. For more information, visit thescarefest.com. And finally, some news about a brand new Haunt magazine. Haunt Nation magazine is a free downloadable e-zine for Halloween and horror addicts published by DBG Graphics. Focusing on pro and amateur haunts, SFX artists, both pro and amateur, haunted house reviews and listings, how-to sections on prop building, the ins and outs of haunt design, reviews of independent horror films, and much, much more. The e-zine and website launches May 17th. For more information or to subscribe, visit www.hauntnationmag.com. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
You want a big show with top vendors, useful education, a kick-ass haunt tour, and one hell of a party. The National Haunters Convention at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. Go to nationalhauntersconvention.com. It's not just big, it's national. May 2nd through 4th. For tickets and information, go to nationalhauntersconvention.com.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here at the National Haunters Convention in Oaks or Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Heck, you can call it Philadelphia for all I care. There's all these small towns. But we're out here talking to everybody, and if you've been listening to the show since the beginning, or maybe a show that we used to do beforehand, you'll probably remember the name Dog Soldier, who used to give terrific interviews with a lot of celebrities, used to go to all the horror cons and talk to all those people, and I just happened to run into Dog Soldier here at the National Haunters Convention. Dog Soldier, how are things?
Everything's great, Badger. How are you?
We're good. I see the flea collar's working well. You're not scratching it. That's excellent. But anyway, we have a little bit of breaking news here regarding Mr. Dog Soldier. It seems that Mr. Dog Soldier has agreed to become a quote-unquote official special correspondent to the show.
Yes, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's been an honor. I can't wait to get started.
So what we'll basically have you do is, if you're up in the Northeast area or any place that he's willing to travel to, let him have access to your shows. We'll contact you if you're a convention owner or something, maybe Chiller or New Jersey Horror Fest or some of those up in the tri-state area. We may be sending him to cover your conventions to talk to the celebrities and the vendors and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, in fact, I just got back from Chiller Theater Expo and grabbed some really nice interviews. I can't wait to get them on the air.
Neither can we. Any names that you can drop that you were able to talk to?
Yeah. Nancy Allen, Mike Zabick from the Comic Book Men.
Awesome.
Just to name a few.
Excellent. Looking forward to hearing those. You might hear them on this show. You might hear them on the next show or the next few down the road. But once again, Dog Soldier, a pleasure to have you here at the National Haunters Convention. You and your lovely wife are a part of the team now, you could say. Part of the Big Scary team. We're going to be having lots and lots of cool things happening from Dog Soldier over the current weeks, months, years that we're on the air. So be looking for that. Breaking news, Dog Soldier, an official member of the Big Scary Show here at the National Haunters Convention. This is Badger, and I am out.
Shadow Symphony. Shadow Symphony. Farewell Funeral Party on the Big Scary Show.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.
Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears.
Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com.
Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Let's talk about onomatophobia. And I'm sure you're going, what? Let me explain. Onomatophobia is the fear of hearing a certain name. Now, you're like, well, how does that pertain to us? Well, you know, it does pertain to us, but most of us as haunters, at least I think a good portion of us, also enjoy the Harry Potter series of movies. Well, what is everybody afraid of? Saying the name Voldemort. So there you go. Onomatophobia. The fear of hearing a certain name. There's a reason why I chose this phobia. And it directly relates to the latter part of my choice, which is explaining to you about Lord Voldemort. The entire Harry Potter universe takes place in where? England. Which brings me up to my new announcement. And now on to my big announcement, Haunters. It is my pleasure to announce that the Big Scary Show now has coverage on two continents. At this point, I would like to welcome both Jason Carl and Jane Willis to the Big Scary Show family as special correspondents from Scare World magazine in the UK, Europe's premier publication covering the scare attraction and entertainment industry. Targeted at producers, attraction owners, scare actors, not the unknown kind, but scare actors, enthusiasts, and home haunters, Scare World features exclusive content, competitions and interviews, and is published twice a year. Breaking news in between issues is featured on the magazine's website, and I'm sure will be featured on the Big Scary Show's website and Facebook page as well. So again, let's give a Big Scary Show welcome to Jason and Jane from the UK. I want to personally thank them for agreeing to come on board with us and provide us with content. And I hope that all of you will give them the opportunity to check out their publication. Go to www.scareworld.co.uk and show them some U.S. support. You may learn a few things from their scare attraction industry, and I'm sure they can learn a few things from the haunted attraction industry here. Again, welcome aboard Jason and Jane, and the Big Scary Show just keeps getting bigger.
Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
Yeah.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and other things listening to the Big Scary Show. And here's the part you've all been waiting for, the Round Table of Terror. And, well, you know, we've done this topic before with other people, but people just seem to like it. We're talking music again, and, you know, we've had the old guard on there, the Midnight Syndicates, the Virgil Franklins, the Jerry Vanes, dare I say.
Dare.
But over the last few months and years, there's been kind of this new generation of gothic, ambient, cool, metal, haunted house-type music that's popped up on the scene, and, you know, it doesn't get as much play as the, as shall we say, the big boys in the league, but we're going to do what we can to change that. So we contacted a few of the up-and-coming musicians in this very important genre of the haunt industry, and we have them on the line with us. We have from Gravetone Productions out in Houston, Texas, Brian Davis. Are you there?
I am. Hello. How's it going, everybody?
Great. Great to have you on the show. With Shadow Symphony in Birdsboro, Pennsylvania, Grant Smoker. How are you, Grant?
All right. Yourself?
We're doing great. And way on out in Jerry Vane's neck of the woods out in St. George, Utah, with Verse 13, we have Mike Fox. Mike, are you with us?
Signing in and reporting for duty, sir.
Excellent, soldier. And as normal, the four hosts, we have Storm.
Greetings.
The Unknown Scare Actor.
I'm tired of saying greetings. Call me Jim.
Okay. Greetings, Jim. And way on out there in Mike Fox's neck of the woods, the haunt rocker, Jerry Vane.
You can call me Al.
Okay, Al. My name is Drew Badger. I'm in Charlotte. It's been a long day, so we're going to get right to it here. This is the Roundtable of Terror, talking music again. And I'm going to throw the first question out as per tradition. How did you guys kind of wake up one morning and decide, I'm going to do this kind of music and I'm going to kind of make it with a little horror haunting type slant to it? Let's throw that out to Brian first.
I don't know that I ever actually really thought about, you know, for a long period of time about making haunt music, but I was a lifelong horror movie fan and had stylistically played all the music and, you know, all types of original and cover bands, and it was just my passion for horror movies and for kind of everything in general that led me one day to this. You know, we have an like a metal element to the style of music we do, and I was seeing these sounds come out, and they were all like, you know, gothic and kind of orchestrated, or it was like kind of like a compilation CD of like metal bands, and I really hadn't seen anybody kind of fusing them together the way that I could hear it, so I just kind of started, you know, tinkering around with meshing these styles together, and but really it's just, I mean, just a lifelong love of horror movies is kind of where I got my start.
Cool. How about you, Mike?
I mean, it's kind of similar. I've always had an affinity for horror movies, even when I was a kid, you know. You know, my guilty pleasure as a five-year-old was, you know, Child's Play, you know, movies like that. And, you know, as I got older, I developed an interest for music. When I was about 15, I started playing guitar, and you know, I started getting into Danny Elfman and you know, dark orchestrated types of music. And
nice.
And I always had a passion for Halloween. I think if you love horror movies, then you probably love Halloween too. And so one day I walked into a Halloween store, and of course there was Halloween music playing, but it was kind of an awakening for me. It was like, wow, you know, people actually do this. People actually write Halloween music, you know, specifically for Halloween. You know, that's awesome. I want to do that. You know, and so that was kind of, you know, the start for me as well.
And Grant, how about yourself?
I guess I have a similar story to everybody. Grew up a huge fan of Halloween, and I always thought that I wanted to contribute something to Halloween. So I had started with actually sound effects growing up. I've been doing sound effects for, at least 10 years. Started doing the Halloween horror haunt sounds, and I still vividly remember going to a haunt, I don't know how long ago it was, but hearing Midnight Syndicate's music, and I was blown away. I never knew something like that existed. So as soon as I heard that, you know, I kind of put the sound effects in the back burner and started writing music that I thought was similar in style. I always wanted to write something maybe a little more gloomy or melancholy. So that's kind of where I got my start, you know.
starting with the sound effects and going to the haunted attractions and hearing the music, and just went from there.
So you guys were more influenced more by movies and things, you're saying, rather than by listening to musicians, per se? I mean, I take it you guys were all familiar with Midnight Syndicate and Nox Arcana and those bands?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And it was kind of interesting. I mean, I it's not like I was, already familiar with Midnight Syndicate or Nox Arcana. And then I was like, I want to do what they're doing. It was kind of like more of a coincidence. Like, the music that I heard when I first walked into the Halloween store that kind of inspired me. It may have been Midnight Syndicate. It probably was, whether I knew it or not, it could have been Midnight Syndicate that, maybe inspired me. But regardless, it was kind of a coincidence. And I can validate the desire to want to, or like the comment that was said about, wanting to contribute to, the Halloween community and the Halloween spirit. I think that's a big reason, why I do it as well, is just to contribute, and then to just create something. So.
Have you guys had, haunts calling you guys saying, can we use your music, or are you guys just kind of floating things out there, or how are you getting the word out there to the haunts that you have this music?
I know at least for Shadow Symphony, we've had really, really good feedback going to different hall conventions, and people are calling us. And like I said before, we had started with the sound effects and went to the music, and now we're kind of juggling both. So we have haunts from all over the U.S. Wanting to use the music, and we're doing custom sounds on the side that we don't put on CD, and that's been pretty interesting and keeping us busy as well, doing completely custom sounds for different haunted attractions that found us through our music. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, the same thing for Gravetone as well. We, we kind of started, we initially started out as like, the idea, well, hey, we'll do, we'll customize your haunt. Well, maybe just tell me what your room is, any ideas or that you have, and we'll just custom things. And as we kind of started stockpiling ideas and just kind of formulating our thoughts as to what we were going to do, that's how the CD that we released came about. But the same thing, I mean, we have people that'll contact us who are looking for specific things for their room, or we've just, like everybody else, we've kind of made ours available to anybody, who wants to use it. So it really was kind of like a marketing and networking tool more than making a CD. Kind of, we decided to take the opportunity to try to get the word out there. So
I'm assuming all of your stuff is going the royalty-free route for haunts and things?
Yes. Unless it's custom and they, then we, if they're wanting something custom for us to put together, then no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same with the stuff I do.
Yeah, well, when I started Verse 13, it was kind of a big dream of mine to actually get, professional haunters to use the music that I was creating. But oddly enough, it hasn't been the case. It's been a lot of local haunters and, across the nation, the small-time home haunters. And I think that's, just as cool. I mean, I get emailed all the time, asking if people can use my music. And another thing that's kind of weird is that I get emails from people who have no affiliation with the Halloween community, but they're involved in some other things. Like, for example, I got an email from a guy who lives in Ireland, and he is responsible for making commercials for the Ireland Comic Con. And he's putting some sort of a Harley Quinn from Batman montage commercial together, and he wanted to use the Netherworld Circus for that. So, I mean, I think that's really cool, too, that, in a way I'm kind of branching out to, other entities, if you will.
Now,
so, I've got a question for the three of them. And, I know Jerry pretty much writes and performs all of his music. Do you guys work with musicians, or are you doing it solo, or how is that working for the three of you?
As far as
for me,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it, man.
All right. Well, with verse 13, it's totally solo. I don't even know anybody else, you know, that lives in my neighborhood who's interested in you know, collaborating with that kind of thing. I mean, I know other musicians, and the only other guy that I work with musically is the guy that does all the final mixing and mastering for, you know, the album. But aside from that, yeah, I mean, all the music is just, you know, single-handedly crafted. So
I'm kind of in the same boat then Mike is. I don't work with anybody else as far as the music goes. It's all me, recording, producing, you know, everything. The sound effects portion of it, I have a little bit of help with, but as far as music goes, it's just me.
Grapes, it's the same way. I mean, I pretty much do everything, although when it comes to the guitar playing, I'm not much of a guitar player, and fortunately I have a lot of good resources stylistically of guitar players who can, you know, do all different kinds of styles. So just depending on whatever track I'm working on, most of the stuff I will create, it's either MIDI guitars, or I will do like a really, really weak, you know, guitar part, and then have somebody who can actually play come in and do it. But yeah, I mean, ultimately I'm, you know, I kind of make the final call and all that stuff, but I'm pretty much a one man show. I have a few close friends who will lend their time and talents, maybe not so willingly, but I strong arm them into coming over and recording for me.
Yeah, that's the same thing with my stuff, with the exception of the track I did with Midnight Syndicate. Everything that I do is all me, and I'm sure as you guys can attest, there comes a point where it's just like, am I ever going to get this stupid thing done?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Grant, you're like me with a ridiculous amount of output. You just sit there and do you sometimes kind of sit there and go, okay, I just finished this one. Do I really want to start on another one or take a break?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, this fourth CD is, a real, real pain compared to, the first three, just because, I kind of put myself out there at Transworld for doing the, sound effects. So, I don't really sleep anymore, so that's made life pretty interesting on that.
It's always
front.
Overrated.
It's interesting that you said your fourth CD, because that's the same thing I'm having with mine with the Virus 08. I've had 10 songs done for a while now, and I just part of me wants to put it out, and part of me just wants to say forget it.
Take it burn out. What's going on?
Well, I said I was going to take a break and, you know, push the CD out. What'd I do? I joined the band. Oi.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, at Gravetone, when we put that first CD together, it was literally like, you know, we were just kind of compiling ideas. So I didn't really consider it like, it's not like we sat down to make a record, you know, and okay, we have to do 10 songs, we have to do 12 songs. So we were just kind of stockpiling ideas and they, you know, fleshed themselves out and, you know, as it turned into a record, there was no pressure. You know, there was no deadline. There was no.
Oh man,
like, oh,
I love
you know?
That idea. That is an awesome. I think I need to try that, because whenever I always have that album. You know, I gotta create the album. You know, I always have that in the back of my head. You know, that's kind of like, you know, like oh, that's the mission that I'm set out to accomplish. I got to make an album. I like that approach a lot. I should try that.
It, you know, it works, but now I think there is, you know, since we've released this one and we've made some contacts and, you know, obviously Jerry Vane and Midnight Syndicate and those guys, we've kind of, you know, met up with some of those guys. And so we've gotten some exposure, and that's led to, you know, to more projects and more opportunities. So I think I'm kind of about, if I'm not already, I'm falling into that trap of, you know, oh, we have to get another record out and we have to kind of keep working, you know,
yeah.
So. But the first one, there was no pressure at all, you know, so that was cool.
Well,
you know, I think with my problem creating something like Verse 13, I mean, knowing who I am, I don't think I'd get anything done, you know. I think I would probably write like one song, like, you know, every two or three years if I did that, you know. But on the second hand, it's like you said, it's a lot less pressure, and that's appealing to me.
I actually found with each one the pressure not to top the previous one, but to expand the sonic palette and expand what I did off the first one, and I don't know about you guys, but I found myself kind of creating a bigger monster with each one, trying to see if I could top the next one.
I love that.
I mean, with the third CD, The Attic, I mean, it came out exactly how I wanted it. And now I'm looking at the next one going, how the heck am I going to top this?
Right.
And then there's also that, there's that, you know, as haunt music makers, we're all kind of, you know, we're already kind of doing things a little differently than most people who, you know, who write music and who make records and stuff, because we have a little more freedom to experiment and to do, you know, some kind of out there things, because
you're not trying to write a hit.
Right. But there's
no hit to be made. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And well, the thing is, though, that in and of itself makes it kind of weird, because you know, as we're constantly pushing the boundaries to what's acceptable from, you know, from a sonic standpoint, or like is, you know, sound effects or whatever it may be, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, you never know how, well, that's like when we did the first CD, even though, you know, we were proud of it, you know, we had no idea how the haunt and horror community was going to take to it, because, you know, we would have these kind of, you know, traditional sounded pieces, and then this like huge metal section would come in and just kind of rip your face off, and then it would just go away. And to us, it was cool, but you know, we had no idea what how it was going to be received. And I think moving forward, that's kind of what we're facing too, is like, you know, obviously not wanting to do the same thing over and over again, but we have to find ways to expand and make it different, and still, you know, be creative. So
you find yourself second guessing yourself.
Yes, very much so.
Like, you know, I think you bring up a good point there, as far as, you know, being concerned about how the music will be received. One thing I've noticed since I've actually, I guess, kind of tapped into the Halloween community is how accepting everyone is. And and on the music side of things, I don't look at, you know, other, you know, Halloween musicians as my competitors. I look at those guys, you know, you guys as my friend, you know, and it's been the same way, you know, for me. And there's not, and that's one thing that I love about it, you know, it doesn't feel like it's a competition, it doesn't feel like it's a race, it's just, you know, one big happy family, and that's one thing that I like a lot about it.
One big happy dysfunctional family.
You got it right.
Yeah, Mike totally stole my line. That was the big thing I wanted to come on with. not feel like anybody was competing, because if you look at all of us, it's really cool, we're all different. I think, you know, Midnight Syndicate kind of set the stage for what horror music is as far as home haunters, haunted attractions go. And then Nax Arcana came on and they added, like, sounds to it and did some vocals and kind of made it a little bit different, a little bit more goth, which is really cool. And Verse 13 is a lot of cool stuff as far as a lot of hype, a lot of excitement in their music. Very, very up, like, exciting horror-sounding music. And you don't really get that. Gravetone does a lot of that, the more metal side of it, which you don't get. And I think Shadows kind of finds its niche with it's very slow and gloomy and melancholy. So we all definitely kind of fit together. There's, I agree with Mike, there's no competition, because we're all doing something kind of different, but yet contributing to the horror Halloween community. So it's pretty cool.
Don't let him fool you. Jerry's actually very jealous that you're doing metal music.
I'm
thought he had the market cornered, but
I had a corner. That was it. I'm the top, the king of the hill.
I'll tell you, Jerry. You know, when we started working on the Gravetone stuff, because I've had this idea for a long time. You've obviously been doing it for a long time, but I scoured the net and you know, looking for anybody that was doing metal, anything resemblance of like metal and Halloween, and of course you came up. And you were the only person, like, I think, you know, you were really the only person that I found that was doing that. And I was like,
I'm going to take this boy down.
No. I mean, I'll
he's
be honest.
Old. I'm young.
No. I mean, I think I told you, I mean, I'm primarily a drummer first. So,
so was I.
There was no way I was going to make Halloween music and not put, like, some, you know, kick-ass metal drums in it. So, but no, man, Jerry, yeah, you definitely, you cornered that a long time ago, because you were obviously Midnight Syndicate was a, you know, huge influence. And, you know, when I kind of had this concept of like, man, I really want to do some, you know, some loop stuff, some metal, whatever, you know, kind of the way we approach it is just like, we can do anything, you know, there's really no limits. So in searching that, you know, I found you and I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I appreciate that.
Ego. God, yeah. He doesn't need his ego stroke.
I'm tired.
We'll never hear the end of
it. Right now. Well, I mean,
what we need is a title belt that says Hot Rocker on it and a steel cage match.
Oh, shit.
So Jerry is a wily veteran.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't go up against Jerry, man. He's, you know.
I'll smack you around with my walker. Well, I mean,
I was just going to say, Jerry, you might not be that much older than me, so I'm going to leave that one alone.
Well, the one thing I liked, I mean, you know.
He's only 56.
Yeah, minus 50. With your guys' music, you know, when I found you guys to bring on the show, is that you're all coming into the same playing field, but like Grant said, each of you has your own unique individual style. With your stuff, it's more almost ambient to me,
yeah.
To my ears. You know, it's very, like you said, very very slow, very gothic. Some pieces there's a starkness to it that's just it grabs your attention. You know, it could
I'll make a comment really quick regarding Grant's music. Mm-hmm. One thing that I really like about it is that it seems reminiscent of it kind of has like an old school feel that I like a lot. It's almost like when I listen to that music, I feel like I'm back in like the Haunted Mansion ride. You know, music that was like created like, you know, a few years back that it almost has like a really cool retro style that you kind of like always knew that was there, that you always kind of had, you know, in your head. But I mean, I think with Shadow Symphony, I think that's kind of like a validation of that actual music.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I agree on that. It you listen to it and it has, and I don't want to use the term old style, but it's got kind of a classic feel, symphonic feel of yesteryear compared to what you hear now. If that makes sense.
Classic. There you go. Classic. That's a much better word. Yeah.
No.
That is originally what I started out trying to do, so I really appreciate that. I'm glad that I kind of hit it then.
Yeah, nailed it on the head. and I agree with what you said about verse 13. Verse 13's music has I don't want to use the term uplifting, but it's got an energy to it that pulls you in rather than kind of slows you down. If that makes sense,
it really does.
And granted, it takes you on. You find yourself wanting to get to the next track to sit there and hear what's going to happen because you've created this storyline, whether it was intentional or not. You've created a storyline with the titles and everything that flows really well. And then with Gravetone actually, you brought in with what you did. You actually brought up the game for me to try to match now, because you're doing stuff that I am trying to do, but I don't have the keyboards and the synths and all that. I'm trying to create that palette that you've got with what you do right now. So you're actually pushing me to push myself to get to that level that you've got with your first album.
Wow. Thanks, man. That's
I think that was an awesome compliment for all of us, man.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm fans of all you guys for real. Like I'm here in Houston and I'm just plugging away. And I mean, when I listen to you guys, I'm inspired to create more. And every time I hear something, I'm like, okay, yeah, everybody's constantly raising the bar, you know? So, that's a compliment to everybody who's on the line. Cause you know, you guys keep me inspired and motivated to keep trying to get darker and heavier. And
yeah. Well, thank you. And likewise.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, while we're self-congratulating everybody and all that good stuff, this would be a good time to take a really quick break. So just a reminder that you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown props.
the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. CreepyCollection.com, the online source for all your pro haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find Creepy Collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror, where we're talking music with Brian Davis of Gravetone Productions, Grant Smoker of Shadow Symphony, and Mike Fox of Verse 13. Jerry has been leading the conversation, being the musician himself, which has been really fascinating in listening to all your guys on how you got started and how you write and how you make your music. But I want to touch just a quick thing that we touched on earlier about influences and things like that. I noticed that the new Midnight Syndicate CD that's coming out is going to be very much based on old MGM Universal Hammer films, old classic horror movies. When you guys get together, or when you guys sit down, you say, I'm going to write some music. Do you always have a general theme in mind, saying, like, this is going to be based on a particular topic? Or do you just kind of go song by song and think, well, this song might fit into this CD project, or this song might fit into that? I'll throw that out to no one in particular.
He's not here.
Oh, sorry. Well, since no one in particular is not here, how about you, Mike? How do you go about determining how to start a new project? Do you have that theme, or do you just start writing music and see what happens?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I've tried both different approaches. And whenever I sit down and actually try to write a theme, it usually backfires, and I usually don't get anywhere. And I usually end up spending like 3 or 4 hours at the keyboard and, you know, and I end up writing a piece of crap, you know. And so the my best approach is to have fun with it first off, and to not expect anything. If I'm thinking of a certain theme, then I am, you know, naturally I'm expecting something, and that usually has the opposite effect for me. So what I try to do, and what I try to remind myself how to write, is to just sit down and just to start, you know, tinkering around on the keys, and hopefully something, you know, something will spark and you know, I'll catch on to it, and I'll go, oh, I really like that melody, or I really like, you know, the way, you know, this is going. And so I try to throw my expectations out the window. I try to, you know, throw away any kind of preconceived ideas of what I'm about to write, and just, you know, try to, you know, go with the flow. So that's kind of, and that wasn't, you know, always the case. You know, it actually took me a while to kind of figure out, you know, I guess how to do that, to just kind of kick back and you know, do what comes naturally.
How about you, Brian?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Like, anytime I try to script, I mean, unless if I'm working on something and I have lines and I have a script, then, you know, I kind of wrap my head around that, and that's a different approach for me. But I think it's just the drummer in me. Like, everything that I do kind of starts rhythmically. So I don't really... Yeah, I typically save any kind of concept or any kind of, you know, ideas of how this is all going to fit together till later in the game. And I'll, you know, that's kind of like our first record. I mean, when it came time to sit down to put together that collection of 13 songs, I had either partially completed or fully completed like 30-something ideas. And, you know, some of them were 10 seconds long, others were, you know, full 3 or 4 or 5 minute songs. And I can't concentrate that well, because I just, like, I'll get into an idea and, you know, I may write 10 or 15, 20 seconds or maybe a couple of minutes, and then I'll stop. And I literally may not touch it again for months or years. But in that process, I will write a lot of those, like, little parts and pieces. And usually what happens is I'll end up, like, pieces that worked or that maybe weren't even created at the same time. So, that may be kind of backwards. I don't know, but yeah, I don't. Anytime I, you know, unless it's that, I don't really, you know, think everything all the way through. Just sit down and start writing and see what happens.
Grant, how about yourself?
My first CD, I actually
got really, really lucky and had this really vivid dream one night about this really unique haunted house kind of thing. So that kind of made me write the CD. And if I don't have a theme in mind, I'm all over the place. So I absolutely write every CD with a theme in mind. And sometimes it backfires because I've got songs that I really like. I know for The House of the Mist, my first CD, I wrote a song called Cursed Ground, which I loved it. It seemed like it fit, and everybody told me, you know, don't release it like that. It sounds like it should be on a Pirate Ghost Ship album. And so that kind of is a little tough on that front, you know, trying to figure out what really fits to your storyline. And I try to keep the storylines really, really loose. You know, you have the theme, but I like it, like everybody else, open to interpretation, because I think that way, you know, your listener feels like it can kind of be their story and not just yours. So I think that's kind of a neat thing that you can share with your listeners on that front.
It's interesting hearing you guys talk about how you get your influences and everything, you know, for your writing and all that. Mine's the complete backwards version of all that. Some of the best ideas I've come up with were watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Go figure that one out. But with me, with the last couple of albums, I actually will get the idea in mind of what I want the theme to be, and I'll start writing song titles out. And and that's how I'll get song titles, and then I'll start using the song titles, and I'll look at them and go, okay, well, in the case of Virus 308, for Outbreak, I wanted to, you know, I started watching, you know, The Walking Dead. I was watching different scenes from, you know, different zombie films to try to get that idea. I had pictures on one of the monitors to look at to give me an inspiration. But the one thing that set that off, that actually got the idea for Outbreak to become what it was nothing haunt related. I was watching the news, and they were showing this soccer game, and these people, you know, stampeding, you know, onto the field. That's where the riff came from watching that.
Oh, wow.
It was not haunt related at all.
Let's not forget, you are one sick individual. You know that.
I know.
Let's not forget the Mexican mariachi metal.
Want me to do a Mexican metal mariachi album next. So
cover that important Latino market there.
There
you go. Very fast resource.
Like you guys said too. You know, you sit there and you listen to the riff, the idea, and you're like, okay, well, is that going to fit with this? Maybe it will go for that. You know, and I found myself working on a track, and I'm listening to it, and I'm like, okay, that sounds really cool, but it doesn't fit the storyline for Virus 08. Next thing I know, I'm writing a second album, and I've got four songs done on this one. I'm like, how the hell did I get pulled into this tangent? Now, my question for you guys, when it comes down to the artwork for you guys, because the music, you know, is important, but you also want the visual for your artwork. You know, you want the cover to catch people's attention and go, okay, that's interesting. Where do you guys get your inspiration for, you know, as far as the visual aspect of your CD artwork?
Anyway, Shadow Symphony goes, I'm very hands-on. So I have before I start an album, I have something very, very specific in mind. So I have a couple friends that I'll go out with, and we'll shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot different locations. And whatever seems to fit best, I'll take to a very good friend of mine that does the graphic design portion of it. And originally I always thought I wanted, like, drawings, but I know it looked like Midnight Syndicate does that, Nax Arcana does that, and I didn't want to be labeled as a copycat. So what I wanted to do was kind of take the artwork in a different design format. So we take the real photos, and we add different elements to it. And that's kind of how we differentiate ourselves from them. So every single album we've done, we will go out and I'm there and we'll shoot it. And I have a friend that is amazing and just really brings it to life after we're done shooting. That's how we go about it.
You can plug her if you want.
AndreaBrowerDesign.com.
Try one more time because Badger was...
Okay, it's AndreaBrowerDesign.com. She's got her own site. She's on Facebook. If you like us on Facebook, we're friends with her there. You can go to her page and contact her there.
Okay. What about you, Mike?
Etch a Sketch.
Well, that's fine, dude.
No, I.
You master.
You know, I'm not fortunate in the sense that I have a lot of resources and a lot of friends who you know are willing to, you know, create artwork for me. The first album, Prelude to the Afterlife, it was designed by a gal named Robin Trent, and I kind of had an idea in mind on what I wanted for the cover, and so she did that for me, but we kind of parted ways, and so the second album, Memories from the Grave, it was, I just did that all on my own. It was kind of like, okay, what can I, you know, put together that looks kind of spooky, that looks, you know, kind of cool. And I actually went to the thrift store and, like, bought some props and did some, you know, Photoshop work. And I came up with something that I liked, that I thought, you know, fit the, you know, the concept of the album. And that's pretty much it for me. I mean, I only have two albums, so it's not like I have a whole lot of stories to tell and in terms of, you know, this artist did, you know, this album for me and that artist, you know. So I'm kind of a scavenger in that sense. I just try to, you know, work with, you know, the best of what's around, really. And, you know, if I can come up with something that I like, then, you know, I'll use it.
Okay, what about you, Brian?
I'm not picky.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Like I designed our album cover and, you know, with Photoshop, and I had the title. I had the title of the record, Music to Be Buried By, was actually, I wasn't sure at the time if it was going to be a song title or the album title, but I just knew I liked it. And then once I settled upon that was what the record was going to be, I just knew I wanted the imagery to match that and just to be kind of dark and make you think, wow, where's that dude, you know, where's his head at? And I just wanted to kind of be a little uncomfortable, you know. As a matter of fact, I'll go as far as to say that I talked to a chain. I'm not going to mention any names, but I talked to a chain or a store, like supply store, but they do Halloween stuff every year, like a lot of them do. And I was told between the, but basically they were commenting on the audio. They thought it was too dark for the store, because they said that people wanted, you know, they thought it was a little too dark, a little too scary for the store. So
that's when you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, I was like, dude,
exactly.
You know, although I was hoping to sell some CDs in their store, ultimately I was more excited about the fact that they said it was too dark to carry in their store. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Winning.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But yeah, no, I do. And not because I'm a control freak. I'm the same way. If I knew a really good graphic artist who was, you know, willing to work on my shoestring budget, I would probably totally be utilizing that. But at this point, I haven't come across that yet. So I just kind of design it in an old version of Photoshop.
There you go.
I got really lucky on that front. Really lucky.
Yeah, I artwork.
That's what the other thing too is each of your artworks definitely is distinct. You know, Grant, you've got your own style with just your artwork as it is, and that's the one thing I liked about it. It's got it's more like sketches rather than, you know, paintings. And when you look at it, it almost looks like it's like it's weaved, you know, by the way you, and then. You know, so that's what caught my attention when I first heard about you. Your artwork was what caught my attention first, and I'm like, okay, well that's interesting. And then same with Gravetone and Verse 13, the artwork was caught my attention. And you know, if you can get the package to be, you know, quality artwork, you know, the artwork catches your attention, the music catches your attention even more. You got something there. And you know, Brian, when they said you're too dark, I'm like, yeah, you're on it, dude. You're right on the money.
Yep. I mean, that, right? I can't think of a better compliment when you consider, my dream gig would be to, I've scored several short films and done a couple of web series, and I would love to do a movie, you know, and it would, of course, be dark, you know, and so that's a dream of mine to do something like that. So to be told by a store that, you know, well, we would carry it, but we're afraid you would offend people, it's like, hell yes, that's cool.
Yeah, I think as we're getting ready to wrap it up and as we're getting to the end of this session, just want to check with each of you guys, what do you got planned for the future? Any big, exciting things coming along for our listeners to be on the watch for? And, Grant, let's go to you first on that.
Breaking news.
Okay. We are pretty much opening up the sound effects division, custom sound effects from Shadow Symphony, which we do a lot of the recording ourselves. We'll go out and record weird things, make sounds ourselves, and put them together for your haunt, home haunt, whether it's a home haunt, professional haunt. So that's exciting on that front. We're working on CD number 4 and number 5 kind of at the same time because I started writing the 5th one before the 4th one, but then I started realizing the 4th one I should do first. So
copycat.
We've got a lot of music in the future coming out. And then we're also looking at scoring some very exciting old-school horror that we're looking to kind of talk about more seriously next year. That's what's going on right now with Shadow Symphony.
Awesome. And Mike, what about you in Verse 13?
I am currently working on a theme song for the Terror Clowns comic books. There's a guy, his name's Jared L. Dodson, and he makes these awesome comic books, and it's called Terror Clowns, and it's, you know, as you can imagine, you know, it's about, you know, killer clowns. So I'm actually doing a theme song for him right now, and I'm still trying to figure out what to do about a third album. So I think right now I'm kind of taking a break. That last album took a lot out of me, and I think I'm ready to, you know, go to Hawaii or something.
Oh, awesome. Nice.
I see a haunted tiki album.
There you go.
There is a lot of haunted legends and ghosts and monsters and gods from Hawaii, so hey.
I don't know.
Go watch the Brady Bunch. Watch Brady Bunch Goes to Hawaii. There you go.
That's a horror movie in itself.
And, Brian, what's Grave Tone got coming down the line?
Well, we're almost done with our second record. Well, this one's actually an EP, so it's going to have 6 songs on it. But we also, I wrote a script and directed a short film last year that hopefully, we're scoring that as well. Hopefully we will get that out in the next year. When you have a bunch of really cool artistic people who are doing stuff for free, you can't really hurry them down the line. You know, you kind of just got to wait for it to come around. But so, yeah, we have another record coming out and a short film. Beyond that, just, you know, looking to get some getting into some more scoring and, you know, doing that kind of thing. And I mean, our catalog's ever-growing, even though we're releasing a CD. I mean, I'm constantly writing. So, yeah, there'll be more CDs and that type of stuff down the line. So we're just staying busy.
Does the EP have a name yet?
It does. The name is Dead by Midnight.
Very cool.
Awesome.
I like that. One final question, and we'll start giving out plugs and wrapping this up. I know a couple of you guys have met each other before. A couple of you have not. Any possibility of collaborating with some of the people on the show tonight?
Yes, please.
Why not?
I think it would be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool. You know, I would be honored to write a song with Grant or Brian. I mean, I'm always up for anything when it comes to, you know, Halloween and horror music. So, yeah, definitely.
We'll have to discuss that off-air and exchange contact information, I'm sure. But that would be really, really cool to see this kind of haunt horror supergroup out there.
Yeah, we need to get Jerry Vane on it as well.
Yeah.
No. I've always thought something like that would be very, very cool because, like we said before, everybody's so different. And if, you know, you would have a collaboration CD, it would be literally the best of everything because there's not a lot of people doing what we do. So, you know, people kind of look to us for their sounds, for their haunt, their home haunt, what professional haunt, it doesn't matter. So that'd be really cool down the road, doing something like that.
The haunt industry needs its own Queens of the Stone Age.
To be the shrapnel records of the haunt industry.
It's the Queens of the Stone Age to be the ghouls of the graveyard.
Ghouls of the graveyard.
Already got a lucky title, my God, and we haven't even ended the roundtable yet.
The album's called Exotic Palette.
Which, unfortunately,
it just
we're going
me
to have
there's not more people doing this. It's just incredible that there's not. So that's really, really cool that you know, the group that is doing it is it's a real tight-knit community. So that just makes it even more neat, you know, when you're producing this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But unfortunately,
there's no reason to do it, I think.
With the time being what it is, we do have to wind this one down. What has been a very, very interesting and fascinating roundtable, one that I wish we could do about 3 hours worth, but we'll just have to chat after here. But this is when we affectionately like to name this part of the show The Plugs. So if you have websites where people can download or purchase your music or find out more information about upcoming projects, how you can get in touch with the artists we have on the show today. Let's start with Mike Fox. Tell us how people can get a hold of you, follow you, tweets, Facebooks, etc.
Yeah, sure. Just go to verse13.info, and it's the number 13, not the word 13. So verse13.info, all the information is on that website. You can, you know, purchase the CDs directly from that site. Or you can even there's even links for iTunes and Amazon if you prefer to download the music instead. I do want to say that I am sold out of Prelude to the Afterlife, but I still have some more copies of Memories from the Grave. So yeah, verse13.info.
And you're also on iTunes as well.
Yeah, iTunes, Amazon. Let's see, Route Note, CD Baby. Uh huh.
Very nice. And how about you, Brian?
GravetoneProductions.com. And same thing, we have physical CDs for. I'm still a CD guy. If I really like a group, I'll buy their CD and we have a physical copy. It's on iTunes, CD Baby, even Spotify. Although I looked at my royalty statement from Spotify a while ago, and it was kind of comical.
Yeah.
It was like slightly. You know?
You got like an eighth of a penny for.
Yes. it took like several hundred plays to get a few pennies or something. It was really bizarre and kind of almost pointless, but laughable. But GravetoneProductions.com. We have CDs. The links are on the page, and we're on Twitter as twitter.com/gravetone, and then we have a Facebook page as well. So, find us.
And last but certainly not least, Grant, how about yourself?
We stay pretty active on Facebook. We try to make at least a post a week, trying to keep things interesting between artwork, music, you know, that kind of thing. We have a site being built right now, which should be pretty interesting. That should be up by the end of the year when we're releasing the next album. So, yeah, between Facebook and YouTube, we stay pretty active on there, so look us up there. And
Jerry, you want to plug your site real quick while we're at it, since you are a big contributor to the show?
Okay. I've got the CD Virus 308 coming out later this year. It's at jerryvayne.com, JerryVayne.com.
Excellent. Well, I sent you a bill for that free advertising there, Jerry. But anyway, gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the Roundtable of Terror with the Big Scary Show's co-hosts, Storm.
I'm off to go refine my sonic palette and then book them for a world tour.
Oh, brother.
Looking forward to that.
Jim.
Hey, you got it right.
I did. Shockingly. Ooh. And way out in Las Vegas, Jerry Vayne, the plug master.
Had a great time with this one. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you. It's been a great honor.
My name is Drew Badger. This is the Big Scary Show's Roundtable of Terror.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Verse 13, Blighted on the Big Scary Show.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, and anything else listening, it's that time of the show where we offer a cool prize for one lucky listener. It's time for the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. You know how this works. We ask a question about something in the show. You answer that question by emailing your answer along with your contact info to contest@bigscaryshow.com. We'll pick a random email and you'll have the chance to win. The question for the month of May is... What unlikely actor runs a huge Halloween home haunt that was featured in Fright Times magazine, along with James Cameron, who happened to be there at the time? If you think you know the answer, send us an email with your name, phone, and email address to contest@bigscaryshow.com. This contest ends on Tuesday, May 28th at midnight. Good luck, and once again we wish to thank Screenline Studios for donating a meat mangler tool to the gruesome giveaway. Be sure to visit their site at www.screenlinestudios.com.
It is my pleasure to introduce to you the Big Scary Show's special correspondent. We bring you Dog Soldier.
Dog Soldier here with the talented and beautiful Nancy Allen from great movies of RoboCop, the original Carrie, and of course my favorite, Strange Invaders. Nancy, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's been a fun weekend here at Chiller.
Okay, right off the bat, you ready? Okay. Okay, RoboCop, how'd you get the part? What'd you think about the title and the script?
My agent called and said they want to see you for this movie. I'm sending you the script. I got the script. I looked at the title and I thought, oh God, they're going to have to change that. It sounds really cheesy. And I thought, well, just read a little of it. I picked up the script and I couldn't put it down. And fell in love with it. I thought it was so unique. Very unique. Really powerful. Funny. Hip. Very timely. So I thought, okay, yeah, I really want to make this movie, but they're going to change the title, right? I kept saying that. So I auditioned and had a real good meeting with Paul Verhoeven and the group and went back again. He filmed me with like a little camera, and about, I guess it must have been 6 months later, I was cast. So now, it was a long haul.
Any preparations did you do for the get ready for your character as a police officer?
Well, I spent a lot of time with our munitions expert, Randy Moore, because I had never really held a gun. Even though my dad was a cop, I'd never held a gun in my hand. So he worked with me and took me out to the range, and Steve Estrada at the police academy worked with me as well. So I had a lot of fun preparing.
Did you ever ask your dad for advice?
Only once. Only once. There's a scene in the car where, early in the film, where Peter and I are chasing the bad guys and they're shooting at us, and Peter and I were working it out before. He says, I'm going to ask you for your gun because you're driving. I said, well, a cop would never give up the gun, ever. And he says, you're wrong. He said, why don't you ask your dad? And I went, okay, I will, thinking for sure I was going to be right. So I called my father and I said, Dad, right? A cop would never give up their gun. He said, well, what's the circumstances? I told him, he says, you got to give him your gun. So Peter was gloating, of course.
Now, there was rumors coming out that they were going to make you a robot. Now, when you heard those rumors, was that the direction you were hoping it was going, or did you hope it would stay as you were?
I was not hoping it was going. I couldn't think of anything more difficult and excruciating. I could never do what Peter did. The discipline and time and effort that he put into it just wouldn't be my thing at all. No. Let me be a human.
Now, the favorite role?
Oh, that's an impossible question. Certainly Ann Lewis, because it was such a different, strong woman character than other roles that I had played. But I do love those bad girls, you know. So the bad girls, the girl in Carrie, Chris, and the Dress to Kill character, those are really fun to play.
How about any hardest roles?
Any what?
Hardest roles.
Oh, hardest. Probably the Sally role in Blowout, mostly because I didn't like the character as written, and you really have to like the person, so I had to overcome that and find things about her and bring things to the character so that I could really feel good about it.
Now, are you more of a gore horror fan or more of a thriller horror fan?
I think more of a thriller suspense. Yeah.
So you have any new projects coming up?
You know, I'm not shooting anything right now, but I'm working on a fundraiser.
Okay, tell us
for WeSpark Cancer Support Center in California, and a wonderful organization founded by Wendy Jo Sperber, who did I Want to Hold Your Hand in 1941 with me. We offer free services to cancer patients and their families.
That's
and
nice.
It's really incredible. So my RoboCop team, they're all coming out. We're going to have a screening and meet the fans, and we're going to have a ball. That's what I'm doing.
And this is when?
This is May 18th in Hollywood at the Harmony Gold Theater. So
now, is there any way, if anybody wants to send donations or anything, how do they get a hold, how do they send them in?
Well, they can go to the website, www.wespark.org.
Nancy, anything you want to say to your fans before we end this interview?
I guess thanks for being on this great ride with me, and I appreciate all of your feedback and support and comments.
Well, Nancy,
and loyalty.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us at the Big Scary Show. And good luck with the cancer charity. I hope it works out well for you.
Thank you.
And I hope to see you on the screen soon.
Well, thank you. That would be wonderful.
All right. Nancy, thank you very much.
All right, Storm, still here at the Banshee Fest in Rhode Island, and I am at the Scully Couture table, and let's find out some more about the jewelry and just awesome apparel that they have here.
Hi there. Well, we have the signature Scully Couture bracelets, which are multicolored, anything from pink, red, black, purple, magnesite, stretchy bracelets. Those are our signature. And then we have pewter pendant necklaces, which include skulls, Celtic knots. We have skull scarves. We have skull rings, skull coasters. Pretty much anything you can find skull, I try to bring in. And then I also have a little mix of more traditional types of stones, like onyx and rose quartz, and sunglasses.
Which are very neat. Do you do a lot of custom work? Do you, you know, just go what inspires you, or?
I do a little bit of everything. A lot of the stuff I make, and a lot I do, some stuff I buy, some stuff I will resell for local artists, like the posters here from a local artist. Just whatever inspires me, I guess. Like whatever the mood brings, I'll go to beach shows and pick up materials, and kind of whatever I see, I grab and make.
Now, where can our listeners check out what you have and find out how to order it online or just see what's coming up and new for you?
They can go to scullycouture.com. It's SKULLYKOUTURE.com. They can order some of the items here today online. I'll also be at the Boston Comic Con. And Scully Couture actually has an alter ego called Karma Collection. So if you don't see Scully Couture somewhere, just look on the back of our card. Karma Collection will be there, and that's a little bit, that's kind of the angel of this, and Scully Couture is kind of like the devil, so if you want something a little more edgier, you want Scully, if you want something more traditional, then you go Karma.
Wow, excellent. Thank you very much, and definitely listeners, check it out, Scully Couture, and yeah, we have a couple of business cards, neat gravestone shape, and I didn't even notice that they flip around.
Are you a fan of the alternative lifestyle? Do you like horror films and gaming reviews? How about Drop Dead Gorgeous Ladies? If you answered yes, then you need to check out Stiff Mag. Stiff Mag is a bi-monthly horror, alternative culture, and entertainment publication that features our horror film reviews, our tech from the crypt, and graveyard gaming features, killer reading, literary features, music reviews, columns, and of course our beautiful graveyard girls. For subscription information, visit stiffmag.com. That's stiffmag.com.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here live at the National Haunters Convention out in the greater Philadelphia area because, frankly, I don't know what town this is. It's Oaks, it's Phoenixville, it's something. So we'll just say Philadelphia. And I'm talking with one of the organizers. You know, we've had Michael Bruner on the show, but we're talking to, shall we say, the one who not all the people know about, although you may know about him for other things, Mr. Robert Hightower. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
And one of the things you might be known for is Fright Times Magazine, am I correct?
Yes, Fright Times Magazine is actually one of the very first magazines in the industry. Started way back in 1997, and it had a hiatus for a few years, but it's back live the last 3 years. And we've had everything, starting with some of the earlier haunts, like Terror on Church Street, which is no longer there, has even focused on something as recent as Dick Van Dyke, who runs a huge Halloween home haunt.
Really?
And got a chance to actually do a large interview and everything with him.
Dick Van Dyke and haunts just does not seem to go together. I mean, you'd expect Alice Cooper or Rob Zombie to have a big haunt, but Dick Van Dyke.
Yes, actually, he's a very, very avid Halloween fan, and apparently he opens up his home, which is out in the Hollywood area, to, you know, all the local haunt kids on the street. And when we got a chance to do the interview at his house, James Cameron was actually over.
Nice.
So we got pictures of him with Fright Times magazine, and we used some backdrops and stuff with Mr. Van Dyke. And it's amazing. He has tons of props and tons of items left over from Hollywood movies from people that he knows. So he has just a huge setup of things that, you know, all of us would be very, very jealous to have.
I can imagine he's probably got a museum's worth of props in there.
Yeah, exactly.
So in the digital age, how hard is it to really keep a print magazine going? I mean, you know, there magazines come and go, and yours has been around for a number of years and seems to be going strong. How hard is that to keep it going?
Well, you always will hear print media is dead, so it is very difficult. I still come from the old school where, you know, I still like the comic books or having the magazine in my hand and something to actually mm-hmm. read, and I almost treat it more like a collector's item, and that's kind of what we do with Fright Times magazine. I really feel that, you know, each issue is something that you're going to want to hold on to. We'll have how-to articles. We'll have really in-depth things so that sometimes you just don't want to have it on your iPod or iPad or, you know, just on a computer screen. It's something you want to really hold in your hand. So we've continued to try to keep them in print. All the older issues, I think the back 15 or so, the older issues, are available online at frighttimes.com, and you can go through and read them all. It's a real cool PDF. You can just turn each page.
Excellent. And you are still accepting subscriptions for all those at frighttimes.com, sorry.
Yep. Go right on to frighttimes.com, and you can get the current issues, I think 19 and 20. So if you were to sign up for that, then both would be mailed out, and the other ones would be mailed out next week.
So how'd you get hooked up with the National Haunters Convention?
So it's actually interesting. One of my other companies is the Village of Darkness, and we do website design for the haunted house industry. And we've been doing that for quite some time now. And Michael Bruner had something called the PA Haunters Gathering, which was he was doing that for many years at his house. Then it moved into like a church. Then it moved to a veterans hall. It kept getting bigger and bigger. Well, he wanted to move it to an even larger venue, such as a hotel. So he contacted me, had all these really neat ideas for graphics, website design, all kind of stuff. And it turned out to be such a large project that I came to him and gave him the offer of, well, instead of doing that, would you rather consider taking on a partner, and that this way you wouldn't incur any of these costs, and we can wind up trying to push all this forward together. And that was actually how the Eastern Haunters Convention was born. From there, we went into a hotel. We were in a hotel for a couple of years, and then it outgrew the hotel. We changed it to National Haunters Convention, right. And that's where we are
here today. The
rest
is history, right? Well, I want to wish you nothing but success with the magazine and the convention for future years. Mr. Robert Hightower here at the National Haunters Convention. For people who want to get subscription information to the magazine and any other websites you need to plug, including the one for Village of Darkness.
Yep, so Village of Darkness for graphics and website design is thevillageofdarkness.com, and of course Fright Times magazine, it's Fright Done Right, and that is www.frighttimes.com, and that has the back issues and the current subscriptions you can order. And of course we have nationalhauntersconvention.com, and another quick and easy way to remember that is halloweenshow.com, which will also take you to a similar website. So halloweenshow.com.
Excellent. Well, Robert Hightower, it's been a distinct pleasure and a privilege to come here and vend at the National Haunters Convention. We hope to have a long-lasting partnership over the next few years, and we'll just see how things go.
Thanks again.
Absolutely. And once again, this is Drew Badger live at the National Haunters Convention, and I am out.
Great Talk Productions. Death awaits on the Big Scary Show.
Commentary, Storm.
Alright, you know what haunts don't do enough of these days? They don't feature enough doctors. Why? Because doctors are just frightening. I mean, yeah, everything about the place, they try, you know, have you been in the office lately? They got everything sterile and just out there, and there's a picture in here and there of, say, hey, look, I'm sort of human, but they come out and they're not. And the worst thing is when they're checking over for stuff and they have that little bit of a smile and they talk in some weird language and stuff. Hey, do you know you got something, 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 Tyrannosaurus Rex syndrome? What? Oh, no, don't worry, you don't. What? I swear, I think, you know, when these websites online say that doctors make them up and, you know, you go in and you check everything that's wrong with you and you think you're, you know, either have the cold or going to die, there is a doctor behind that, because they smile sometimes while they're giving you these insane things that are going within. There is not enough of that in Haunts. There need to be doctors coming out there telling people how sick they really aren't and just driving people nuts. Why? Because it happens and you experience it and you'll remember your haunt. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
It's 2013. How do you keep up with all your customers who are on the go? The answer? HauntApps.com. HauntApps is designed to provide your haunted attraction with a direct line of communication to your customers via the iOS or iPhone and Android applications. Some features you will find with HauntApps include customized branding with your attraction's logos, an interface that works for your needs, iPad enhancement for the iOS, audio-video playback, direct communication, and the option for online ticketing. Let HauntApps do all the hard work so you can concentrate on scaring the customers. That's HauntApps.com for your mobile application needs.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. We'd like to thank Dog Soldier for becoming our special correspondent and bringing us an interview with Nancy Allen. Be sure to stay tuned as he'll be bringing us many, many more interviews in the future. We'd like to thank Shadow Symphony, Gravetone Productions, and Verse 13 for being on the Round Table of Terror and talking music. Thank you to Scully Couture and Team Hull Breach for coming on the show and talking about your latest ventures. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, Catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor. Videos and more. UnknownScareActor.com. The Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane. Pick up his latest CD, The Attic, at jerryvane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items. news@bigscaryshow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. And you can find us on iTunes. Search Big Scary Show in the iTunes store. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.